Margarita Levchuk, an opera singer turned satirist in Vilnius, Lithuania. Jan Rudzik, a blogger in Warsaw, Poland. Juliana Szemetowicz, an activist leading a hacker collective in New York, USA. Seemingly, the three have little in common, except they are all exiles from Belarus, wanted or on trial in absentia on terrorism charges for criticizing President Alexander Lukashenko and his government in Minsk.
When I traveled to Lithuania in October 2020 for a performance, I got a text from my relatives telling me I had been blacklisted back home for expressing my political views and was wanted by the regime. They said I shouldn't come back to Belarus. At first, I disagreed. But when others said the same, I was persuaded not to return. The regime has brought charges against me. Of course, it's not funny. We are talking about real trials. But opposition voices joke about how pleased we are when we get onto the regime's list of convicts. This regime only prosecutes the best.
Lukashenko's regime labeled cyber-partisans as a terrorist group. They even labeled me personally as a terrorist. He famously said that he's afraid of cyber weapons more than he's afraid of nuclear weapons. So the moment the cyber-partisans started to being active and successful in damaging the regime's systems, they got scared.
I made my decision to leave in 2019. I had spent a long time working with state authorities, and I realized I wouldn't be able to change anything from within the country. The authorities now consider me a threat, because in my blog, I lay out radical ideas, and I write exactly what Belarusians have on their minds. The government has charged me under 10 different laws. Of course, I don't believe I'll get a free trial, because the entire system in Belarus, if you can even call it that, is illegal.
That system has its roots in the 1990s, when, following the collapse of the Soviet Union, Belarus became an independent state with Alexander Lukashenko as its democratically elected leader. But Belarus's democracy was short-lived. In power for over 29 years, Lukashenko has referred to himself as Europe's last dictator. And he's living up to his own branding. The repression of political and journalistic opponents is just one grim aspect of his authoritarian rule. But the crackdown on dissent took a turn for the worse in 2020, when Lukashenko's highly disputed election to a sixth term triggered the biggest anti-government protests in Belarus's history.
After the unprecedented mass protests in 2020, Lukashenko decided to use terror against peaceful protesters and activists. Up to 40,000 people went through prison. Even now, every month, up to 100 people get detained. After the brutality, Lukashenko successfully suppressed the mass movement. However, people have not forgiven what happened. Many had to flee the country, so now a lot of activists are working abroad.
These repressive tactics have been in use for many years. However, before 2020, the regime didn't touch those who were not involved in politics. Following the protests, though, ordinary Belarusians were suddenly getting detained and their families threatened.
I spent 16 years studying to become an opera singer. I wasn't interested in politics, but when it started to affect the lives of my friends, my family, I couldn't keep silent any longer. When I left for Lithuania, I started publishing satirical videos on YouTube and TikTok, songs and sketches mocking the regime. In such hard times, people need jokes and satire. It's a real weapon against the regime. Speaking out cost me my career, but if sacrificing my profession benefits my country, then I will continue on this course.
But what if it isn't just your career you are sacrificing, but your freedom itself? In May 2021, a commercial plane from Athens to this city, Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, was rerouted to Belarus. Now, the authorities there blamed a bomb threat, but they had their eye on one of the passengers on board, Roman Protasevich, the former editor-in-chief of a popular anti-government telegram channel, Nexta. As soon as that plane touched down in Minsk, Protasevich was arrested and he has been in prison on terrorism charges ever since. The incident caused international outcry, with a notable exception, Belarus's neighbor to the east, Russia.
Since the dissolution of the USSR, the two countries have maintained close economic and political ties. Their leaders a match made in Soviet heaven.
Мы вдвоем соагрессоры, самые вредные, токсичные люди на этой планете. У нас только один спор: кто больше? Владимир Жорж, что я? Я уже начинаю думать, что он. Ну, приняли решение, что вместе одинаково.
The relationship, however, is far from equal. Not least because Lukashenko owes his political survival to Vladimir Putin, whose promise of a Russian military intervention in Belarus's 2020 protests helped quell the popular uprising. Fast forward to February 2022 and Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and Moscow turned to Minsk to cash in the favor.
We once thought that Lukashenko ruled Belarus. It turns out it is ruled by Putin. Lukashenko has allowed Russian troops to enter Belarus to launch rockets into Ukraine. It proves that Lukashenko sold our country to Moscow a long time ago. The entire world now sees Belarus as part of Russia. But Belarus is not Russia, and we will be saying that to everyone until our last breath. Belarus is not Russia. Belarus is not Russia.
We contacted multiple departments of the Belarusian government with questions about Lukashenko's relationship to Putin and the country's crackdown on its critics. We received no responses. As the war in Ukraine rumbles on, Belarusians say they are fighting two battles at once: Russian imperialism and an authoritarian government at home.
What unites Belarusians and Ukrainians is our efforts to escape from the Russian Empire and to take our own democratic European route. But the presence of an authoritarian leader like Lukashenko complicates the situation. Ever since back in 1994, every time the Kremlin supported Lukashenko, he had to sacrifice something. First, it was the economy. And then in 2020, it was the country's sovereignty. So it looks like the fight for democracy has been sidelined by the fight for the existence of Belarus as a nation.
Separatists declared that they would help Ukraine as much as possible when the war started, right away. Separatists successfully attacked the Belarusian railways. So after this attack, the movement of Russian military trains stopped completely for some time. And it was a very important moment as the attack on Kyiv and Kyiv area was happening from the territory of Belarus, because Kyiv is situated close to the Belarusian-Ukrainian border. We still provide a lot of information to the Ukrainian special forces because separatists have unique set of databases from the Belarusian regime.
For now, Belarus's involvement in Russia's war effort is limited to logistical support, but some fear full-scale mobilization could be on the cards. For Lukashenko, it's a catch-22. Mobilize and risk reigniting a popular uprising, or don't and alienate his closest ally and lifeline in Moscow. But for dissidents in exile, one thing is clear. They won't return to Belarus until Europe's last dictator is out.
I think about returning to Belarus every day, and I know this day will come when the time is right. I am full of energy and ready to rebuild our country. We just need to wait, and I am patient.